Good morning. Today we're going to look at a topic, godly mothers. Happy Mother's Day to those of you that are mothers, grandmothers. We may even have some great grandmothers out here. We can't begin to thank you enough for the role you play in God's kingdom.
Amen.
And this is not that if you don't have children, this doesn't mean that you're not part of God's kingdom. But this is aimed specifically today at mothers, godly mothers. Many of you are godly mothers. Some of you will be godly mothers. And hopefully we've all had godly mothers. One of the responsibilities and one of the traits that I see in the scriptures of great women of God is that they grow and that they mature individually. It's a responsibility. In fact, this is not only for mothers, it is for all of us. Whether we're a mother, a father, single, we need to grow as a Christian individually. We cannot have a positive influence on others unless we grow. And so women, I urge you, the scripture urges you, the scripture urges all of us to grow individually. And to continue to grow, not just till you've raised the kids. I got a question you don't need to answer. When do you quit raising your kids? You know, you don't. They may be out of the house. You're still raising your children. Even in your later years, you're still raising your children. In 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, and this applies to mothers, it applies to fathers, it applies to each and every one of us. Paul told Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We as Christians, you mothers that are probably the first teacher your children has in the home with them, we want to make sure that we are teaching our children properly. That only comes through study. I know we get busy. I know we got many irons in the fire. Mothers, you're like Supergirl. You're juggling chainsaws, keeping the house going, cooking, cleaning, patching up skin, knees, the whole bit. But we need to have time to study. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think we all, everyone in here, can honestly admit that the Lord has been gracious to us.
Amen.
And in doing, by acknowledging that, we are told what to do. We are told to lay aside those old worldly part of ourselves, and then instead to desire as newborn babes the pure milk of the word. When a young baby is hungry, Everybody and their brother knows it. They let that be known. And it's saying you desire the milk of the word like a newborn babe. You go after it and continue to desire it. In Ephesians 4, Paul is explaining, as he did to so many of the different churches, about the different roles in the church, in a congregation, even in a family. And he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We all have a part. Mothers, you play a huge role, not only in God's kingdom, not only in a congregation, but in your family. And as it says there in verse 16, the whole body is joined and knit together. It is strong when it's like that. And we are told that we may grow up, that we're not tossed to and fro like children. But that responsibility is on us. The only way we get like that is through that study. The first scripture we looked at. Be diligent to be approved by God. That's the New King James. The King James Version says, study to show yourself approved. That's how we do it. Women, we all need to grow. But we notice in the scriptures, godly women grow and they know God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, Peter says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. It's a growth, it's a building process that never ends. We continue to grow in God's word, his knowledge, our reaction to his word. We grow, and then we are able, once we are strong, we are able to pass that to others. He goes on to say, for if these are yours, and here's a question, if these are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We're focusing ungodly mothers today, but I tell you, these passages, they apply to each and every one of us.
Amen.
As we grow, one of the responsibilities mothers have is to teach your children and your family. In fact, children, some of the first teachers they ever get is their mom. The first teachers of secular ways of doing things, but also of godly teachings, is of the mom. The mom has contact with the children so much, especially in those formative years, in those early, early years. What an honor that God has placed on mothers to have a contribution and a responsibility of shaping kids when they are so needing it. Where lessons as a young boy or girl might stay with them the rest of their lives. Someone's going to influence your children. Someone. I would rather it be us.
Amen.
I would rather it be those mothers that love their children more than anything in this world. Love those nature shows. You watch those mama grizzly bears. Don't get between a mama grizzly bear and her baby. That love, you want the best for your children.
Amen.
And you want them to be taught. Sometimes, this is not to anybody in here, but I see in the world those parents that they have no idea what the word no is to their children. They're doing their child a disservice. Oh, I don't believe in spanking my child. You're doing them a disservice. I have conversations every year with parents at school. They're not the ones in charge of the household. Little kids are. And they're the ones in charge. We're not doing them any service by allowing that to happen.
Amen.
You be the influence on your child, because somebody will fill that void. Teach them to be a good Christian. Mothers, how many people have become Christians because of the influence of the mother?
Amen.
Unbelievable. Teach your daughters to be what a good wife is. Teach them as a child what a good wife looks like. Teach your sons what to look for in a good, godly Christian woman.
Amen.
Because they're going to be looking someday. Give them the example. I want one like my mother. I want one like my grandmother, etc., etc. And give them somebody to emulate. Kids, people, copy others. They copy what they see. They, whether it be fashion, hairstyle, slang words, whatever, give them somebody to emulate, and that they can be, and that you would be proud if they emulated you. Don't have that attitude. Do as I say, not as I do. If they copied your life, be proud if they did. Deuteronomy 6:7, and I appreciate Daryl's background information. Moses was wanting the Israelites to remain faithful, and that for mothers and fathers to teach their children the word of God.
Amen.
And it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Those the commands, the instructions that they had been given, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Who's the one that sits in the house mostly with the children? The mothers. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Some of the first people you see in the morning as a child is your mother. Amen. Some of the last people you see before you close your eyes and go to sleep at night is your mother. Amen. What an influence mothers have. In 2 Timothy chapter 5, Paul wrote to Timothy, he's talking about the negative side of women, younger women that have become widows. And he says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger women, widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's a good godly description of a godly mother right there, of a godly woman. In 2 Timothy, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he remembers the influence his mother and grandmother had for him. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is in you also. Paul knew you look at the influence Paul had on Timothy. It didn't start with Paul. It started way back with his mother and grandmother. The influence of what Paul would have to work with Timothy and the great service that he would give him. In Proverbs 31, we see a godly woman, a godly mother. I'd like to read these verses here. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. What lessons the children are getting from this unbelievable woman. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness, not like what Paul was describing to Timothy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Not only she, but all of us will reap what we sow. We will be known for our efforts. And just because women get older doesn't mean their duty's over. The older women are to teach the younger women. The younger women are to teach their children. You know, a lot of times, I think back to that lesson we had a few weeks ago. Is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to be teaching your own children? That's one of the greatest responsibilities a woman can have. But as you get older, and they're up and out of the house, it's not game over. Teach the younger women. One, you're told to do it, and it's good for both parties. It's not only good for the older woman to teach others, but it's good for the younger woman to hear from an older woman that's been there, done that, that's got the battle scars to prove it, that has successfully raised the children, that has given a life of service, for those younger women to hear that from the older women. Amen. In 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That concept goes for women also. You teach those younger women. It's just not your race. Teach them how to win their race. In Titus, Paul tells Titus to teach, you know, to tell the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. We'll pause right here. Paul is telling Titus to teach the young, or to tell the older women, you teach the younger women to love their husbands. Love is not ooey-gooey. Love is not that romantic, oh, he's the most handsome guy, and nobody say that about me, but it's not that ooey-gooey feeling. You teach them to love their husbands. Amen. And to remember their husbands when it's so easy, you've got that child now. Oh, who are you? Even though you're the father, you're still the husband. To remember them, to teach them to love. Sometimes when all you want to do is take a frying pan after them, to love their husbands and to love their children, truly love the children. That doesn't mean saying yes to everything they say. Sometimes you got to spank them. You're teaching them to be discreet. There's nothing uglier than a person without discretion. Teach them to be discreet, chaste, homemakers. Is it a small thing? Teach them to be good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be blasphemed.
Amen.
Those older women teach them because they've done it. They might have done it for 50 years. And now there's a whole new crop of young mothers that need to learn that so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, future mothers, thank you. We cannot, we men, children, cannot thank you enough for what you do. Be godly women, be godly mothers. And again, we thank you. God knows what you do. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, prayer, identifying with us that you'd like to work and worship with us, if there's sin in your life and you need to repent of that sin, whatever your need, we have the opportunity now as Don leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing together.